Greetings to each one tonight in the name of Jesus Christ again. It's a blessing to be here. We've been blessed richly. I've enjoyed the songs. I enjoy singing. Thank you, young people, for leading us in that worship. And I hope that these songs continue to bless you and that they will be a blessing ongoing. I think music is one of the special gifts of our good God to us. What would life be like? What would a church service be like without a song, without singing? Something unique happened today. I was not aware what your Bible memory passage was until tonight. And I had a message in mind for us earlier in the week. I had been pondering, and then this forenoon, somehow there was no angel visitation or clap of thunder from the sky, but just in meditation, I was led to preach from Proverbs chapter 4. I had no idea that that was your Bible memory portion. And so those that have Bibles are welcome to turn there, and those that have it in their memory are good to go, I think, excepting we're going to be referring to portions. I don't know if you have a copy of it with you or not. And we don't have time to do an exposition on the whole chapter. I'd like to look at about the last half of the chapter. The thing that impressed me about this chapter, well, my thought mind went to one verse especially in what's going to happen here tonight and tomorrow. I looked across the roster, and if I perceive this correctly, there's only a few of you that are local. I know a few of you that are local, but only a few of the few. And most of you are from a little bit hither and thither and probably will be traveling, going home. I'm assuming in the next days we are planning to, Lord willing. We plan to leave kind of first thingish tomorrow morning. We've been gone from home for about 2 weeks. My wife and I were at the minister's week at Penn Valley before we came here. And because of the prophesied major storm, we thought it wise to come straight here. So we went to Penn Valley and then came here. So it's been almost 2 weeks since we were at home. So we're looking forward to heading there. And in thinking about the factor of our traveling, my thoughts went to verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 4. And that verse, as a number of you know from memory, simply says, "Ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." And that is indeed my prayer tonight. That is a maxim I'd like for you to remember. Ponder the path of thy feet. Now, it has been said, and it's probably true, that we are a mobile people. I know I certainly have been that. I grew up in the backside of Minnesota in a little community and was hardly out of the state until after I was 21. We didn't do a lot of traveling. We had a dairy farm. The winters were cold. We stayed at home. And that's not all bad either. But somehow, since that time, I went to Faith Mission Home for a year of VS. That's been 46 years ago, and we're still there, so we haven't gotten very far in life. But since we were there, somehow we have done a fair bit of traveling, of going hither and thither, and I know you have too. Now, as we think of mobility and travel, we are a people on the move. Some people call us Russian Mennonites because of the speed with which we gad about, and we rush here and we rush there and we keep going. And that's not all bad if the Lord calls us that, calls us to those things. I thought of several songs that even address that idea. The song, Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus, was one of my dad's favorite songs, and we sang it frequently at home. But the last verse says, onward to the prize before us. Let's keep going. Onward to the prize. Another songwriter says, O Father, lead us gently by the hand till we reach that land. And yet another one that I think we have sung since we're here is the song, Come We That Love the Lord. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're going. And indeed, we are a people on the move. And I'm sure you could think of other songs that match that as well. I was going to read this chapter, part of it anyway, and you've already heard it, so I'm not going to do that. But what I would like is for those of you that have Bibles and those of you that have memorized it, I found in this interesting portion many words that pertain to movement, that pertains to travel, that pertains to going. Just like ponder the path of thy feet. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read several of these verses, and when I pause, I want you to fill in the next word, because I'm going to try, if I can, stop when it talks about travel words. I called this chapter, I have it written in my Bible, Journey Factors. There's things in this chapter that pertain to journeying, and the whole congregation can help with this. I'm going to start in verse 11, and let's try it. He says here, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have thee in paths, right paths. I should have said the word right there. When thou thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou thou shalt not stumble. All of those words have to do with getting from point A to point B, running, walking, the path, the way. But that's not all. Let's look at verse 14, and there it says, enter not in the path of the wicked, and not in the of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, turn away, pass away, turn from it and pass away. And I'm going to skip a few verses. Let's go down to verse 18. But the of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And then a few more. Again, just for time's sake, I'm going to skip a few verses here. Let's go down to verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And then turn not from the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And I'm not sure that I necessarily got them all, but I found it interesting probably a dozen and a half times in this short portion of Scripture. He mentions mobility words, going. And indeed we are. We are going. We are moving. And tonight I want to encourage you to ponder the path of thy feet. I'm going to give you a brief story that has to do with mobility and what can happen on that path. There was once a dozen men that were together in Egypt. And one was pretty much resident there. The other 11 were travelers. And they had come from Canaan in a time of famine. And they came there to buy corn. And the gentleman, the man who was in charge of the corn, wasn't very nice to them. And they recognized they had done wrong. And they went back home and came back again and so on. And as they were there, Joseph reveals himself to them, and they were overwhelmed. They just couldn't hardly believe that the boy that they had sold so many years ago, here he was ruler in the land of Egypt. And So they had some time there together, and Joseph said, "Look, is Dad still alive?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm going to send donkeys or something, asses and wagons, and I want you to go back and get my father and bring him down here." And so he loaded them up. I think there was 10 in that train. And he sent provision and food and I don't know what he all had on there for his dad's comfortable return to Egypt. And then he gave them this injunction when they were ready to set out. And they were ready to travel back to Canaan. And then he said, "See that ye fall not out by the way. See that ye fall not out by the way." Young people, I'm giving you that injunction tonight too. See that ye fall not out by the way. Now, what was Joseph meaning when he said those words? He was worried about fallout. You know what fallout is? Well, if there's a nuclear explosion here tonight, if it's far enough away from here that we survived the initial blast, we would be concerned about fallout. That's the residual dust that settles back down to earth after there's a nuclear explosion. They call that fallout. I don't think Joseph was worried about that. And I don't really think he was worried that their chariots would go so fast that one of them would fall out as they sped along. But he was worried about fallout. What do you think he was concerned about? You see, these men were pretty human, and they sometimes didn't get along with each other. Joseph was quite well aware of that. He was the brunt of that at one point. And so he was concerned that as they journey, that they don't fall out by the way. Now, journeying can be stressful. I've experienced stressful journeys. In yesteryear, time and again, we took a van and packed 12 people in it and headed for Minnesota. And that was my wife and I and our 10 children. And sometimes when we stopped, we practically fell out. Fortunately, nobody did when we were driving. But there's others that are here in the congregation tonight that can testify to my words. But fallout. Now, in your journey, and I'm especially wanting to challenge the young people here tonight, that is a maxim that I'd like to carve into your minds. As you ponder the path of your feet, and as you go from here, see that ye fall not out by the way. Don't fall out with your parents. Don't fall out with your church. And don't fall out with your good God. See that ye fall not out by the way. I hope that you successfully arrive back in Canaan land and that you are prepared for our good God when he returns. Now, this scripture has many, as I mentioned, thoughts on travel. Another maxim that I'd like for you to consider, I already said that all of us are going. We're going. We're moving. Days come and days go and birthdays come and go. And next ones come around, right? Life's like that. Now, the next thought that I'd like for you to remember is when you get to where you are going, are you going to be where you want to be? When you get to where you're going, because all of you are going, all of us are going, I am too, I'm going somewhere, and the days and my steps are taking me there. And when I get there, am I going to be where I want to be? There are people who head that way and they hope that somehow when the dust settles and before the coffin lid snaps shut, that they will be found going that way. That's foolishness at its best. Because if we go that way, at some point we're going to be over there. It's and short of a U-turn. And the grace of God allows for U-turns. Isn't that good news? The grace of God allows for U-turns. And we can be heading in the wrong direction. And as God reminds us of that, we can turn and go the other way. But my question to you tonight is, when you get to where you are going, are you going to be where you want to be? And there's yet another maxim that is perhaps more commonplace, at least I've heard it hither and thither, but I'm going to remind you of it anyway. And that is, we have two options. We can either choose a destiny and accept the path to that destiny, or we can choose the path, which one did I say first? We can choose the path and accept the destiny, or we can choose the destiny and accept the path. And I don't know if that vibrates with you, if that makes sense to you or not, but there are people who choose their path and they simply head in the direction they want to go. And again, they're hoping that at the end they'll be someplace where they want to be. It won't happen. When you choose your own way, when I choose to go the path that I want to go, then the destiny is a consequence. The destiny is beyond, I can't change that destiny, but I can choose it. I can choose the destiny tonight. I can choose where I want to go and accept the path that leads there. And I can't promise anyone here that that path will be easy. Sometimes that path involves trials and struggles and testings. And there's a songwriter that says, "Choose my path, O blessed Savior, and help me to walk with you, that when I get to where I'm going, that I will be where I want to be." This portion of Scripture, of course, has the path of the just, and it has the path of the wicked illustrated in this portion. There's a number of things in here that stand out to me. The especially verse 11 and verse 18. Verse 11 says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." And verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Now, maybe before I go further, I'd like to remind you of another scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus talked about the way. In fact, Jesus very clearly, this portion in Proverbs 4, as I said, talks about the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous as the two ways. Well, Jesus talked about those two ways with clarity in Matthew chapter 7. I'd like to read just a few verses there. In verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. Now, I'm just going to do a simple illustration. If you were to draw a picture of the wide road and of the narrow road, I wonder how you would draw it. Well, there's a couple of options, of course. We could draw one as wide as our grease board allows, and beside it we could put a narrow looking trail. There's people that picture it that way. There's, I've seen it where a road comes up to a cross or a cross road, and then the one road goes down and the other one goes up, and that has a depiction of truth. There's truth in that. I'm going to go in just a little bit different direction in picturing these two roads. The direction of travel is that way in both of these illustrations, and And I know this thing's a little bit behind the pulpit. There's the one way that Jesus talked about. And there's the other way. And again, the direction of travel is from left to right in this. And that's how I'm going to picture the broad way and the narrow way. And I wonder which is which. Which one of those two roads in your mind pictures the broad way and which one pictures the narrow way? Again, we are limited for time and it's a big group for a discussion. I don't know if somebody just wants to venture it. Is which one? Bottom one is the narrow way. Is there anybody that would either vouch for it or disagree with him? Thank you for your bravery. I appreciate you giving us that idea. I'm going to differ with you, and I still appreciate your thought there. The reason that I do that, Jesus said that the narrow way is straight to enter it. It is small. It is narrow. And that's what I tried to illustrate here. When you enter the narrow way, it's narrow. Unapologetically, can't take sin along, can't take self along. You need to die to self, right? You leave yourself behind. The narrow way is narrow for entrance, but what does the Bible say it leads to? Say it louder. It leads to life. And what does life look like? Life is good. Life is, and do you see what's happening here? The further you go on the narrow way, the more open and relaxed and beautiful and freedom loving it is. It's amazing. Now, let's picture the other way. I'm going to say this here is the broad way. And the reason that I say that, look how easy it is to get in. The gate is wide. Anything goes. You can take yourself, you can take your sin and enjoy it. But somebody tell me, where does it lead to? Leads to death, leads to destruction. Do you know what the most restrictive thing is to man? You know, tonight we come and go and we sing and talk and we fellowship and we have a good time. But if time goes on, probably all of us will at some time, and I don't mean this in any light way whatsoever, but we'll all come to the place where we can do nothing for ourselves. And other people will lay us in a box and bring us up front, and they will preach, and then they will bury us because we can't do it. We are totally helpless. We are totally bound, as it were. We can do nothing at that point. We're dead, obviously. Okay, and he says that the broad way, it starts wide, and it's such a happy time. You can do what you want to and go where you want to and look at what you want to and listen to what you want to, but what's happening? What's down here at the end? Bitter restriction, narrowness, bondage, death. It's a picture of the man who is so proud of his cigarette habit. He can smoke a half a dozen packs a day and be so happy about it. But as he goes on, there's that persistent cough. And then there's the diagnosis. There's the lung cancer. And finally, there is sputtering to death. It's the broad way. And it leads there in all regards. The way. There is something about these two ways that is pretty incredible. Did you know that on both of those ways, you can do what you want to? Before you chase the preacher out the back door, let me explain. This man does what he wants to, but it has consequences. This man, as he finds Jesus as his Lord and Savior, I want to say this carefully, but I can live like I want to. I want to serve my Jesus. I want to sing. I want to serve him. I don't even mind preaching. I want to do what he wants me to do. In a sanctified way, I can do what I want. And it keeps getting better. Can you imagine that? I think it's an amazing contrast of ways. Where the one way you do what you want to and it leads to death. The other way you do what you want to and it leads to life. Because Jesus has fixed your wanter. The two ways. Which way are you on? Ponder the path of your feet, dear friends, and let your ways be established in truth. There's another illustration to that in Isaiah chapter 30. Turn there. I'm not going to spend much time there, but it is an interesting picture. In Isaiah chapter 30, he talks about this way. I think this is especially relevant for those that are sitting there with children on your lap and beside you. This, again, we could read the setting with prophet. I just don't have time for that. In Isaiah 30 and verse 21, he says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. This is the way." He said, you'll hear it as a voice behind you in your ear. When you start off with child training, the voice behind their ear, in their ear from behind, is probably the voice of mom or dad. Do this or don't do that. And you hear it, and the child hears it over and over again. Go here, don't do that, please do this, be kind to your brother or sister, whatever the case may be. But as the child grows, there begins to be the voice of conscience that's in their heart. And if the voice behind them has been good and the training has been successful, then the voice from within, the voice of conscience, is that whisper behind. Now, we don't have time to do this, but I am going to just illustrate it. If I would ask this young man to come up here, which I'm not going to do, but I'd love to, and I would take and blindfold you completely so you couldn't see a thing where you were going, and we would be together here, and you would trust me, I could tell you, take two steps forward, and when you get there, stop. There's steps here. Now, you couldn't see a thing. And I'd say, now, there's a step in front of you. You be a little cautious, and you can step down. Do you think you could do so safely? That's right. You could do so safely. I could lead you all over the front here with just a word in your ear, even when you can't see where you're going. How many of you can see the future? We can't, can we? We can't see where we're going. In a sense, we can't see the future, but we're like we're blindfolded on the way. And so we listen for that voice behind our ear. And now for many of us that have grown and given our life to Jesus Christ, that voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit in our conscience. And we hear that. And we turn to the right hand and to the left as He guides us through life. And we can do so with calm confidence because we know that He is there with us and He is there for us. And the best part is He has gone the way before. He knows where the pitfalls are. He knows where the potholes are. He knows where the bridges are out. He knows where the black ice is on the highway. You and I don't. We don't. We're like we're blindfolded in life as far as the future is concerned. But there's that voice behind us. Take it right. Take a left. Take it easy. There's a pothole ahead and that kind of thing. That voice is there. Ponder the path of your feet. What does it mean to ponder anyway? The word simply means to think deeply, to think carefully, to consider what God has for you. That chapter there in Proverbs 4 has many different words and principles for us in that traveling. In verse 20 through 22, he points out the importance of obedience to God's word. He says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear." What's incline your ear mean? That's an interesting idea. You know what an inclined plank is, right? It's a ramp. But you go up there and you listen. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. I think that simply speaks of obedience. We want to fill our mind with God's word so that when we are faced with a moral choice, we can make it based on the word of God. We can make it based on the values of the word of God. And then that familiar verse, you may have talked about it in your Bible memory. I, of course, don't know, but verse 23, in your travel, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible talks about our heart hundreds of times. And we talked about it, I think it was on the second night. We said we should love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart. And which devotional? Was it the first night? One of the brothers had a devotional on sowing and the seed that is sown. And I went back and looked there. It says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he that receiveth seed by the wayside. When anyone heareth the words of the kingdom and understandeth it not." Do you understand what your teachers taught you? Can you remember it? Did you understand it? Are you willing to apply it? That's all part of guarding your heart with all diligence. Because as you do that, that's part of pondering your way. Ponder the path of your feet. And let your ways be established in truth. As you go from here, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God bless you richly as you walk with Him and as you journey on. And if we meet not again on this earth, may we meet in that great beyond where we never will part again. God bless you.